Welcome to She Struts Radio, where we give voice to women's stories, longings, pain, deepest heart's desires, and dreams, and support them in being unapologetically vocal, visible, and vulnerable women, happily claiming their place in the world. Now, here's your host, author and speaker, Deborah M. Ricks.
To be here, and I thank you for joining me this evening. If you're like I am, this topic means a lot to you. You might not even know it yet, but when you hear my guest, you might identify with some of the things she will share. A little bit about me, for those who don't know me, I am an author of 3 books. I am a coach, publisher, and an editor. And one of my biggest accomplishments is that I'm the mother to a 21-year-old who's about to graduate from college this year. And I'm grateful for that. And I hope that you will visit me on my website at DeborahRicks.com. I am really excited to talk to my guest. I was reading a book last year, another empowerment book, and this particular author, she wrote these words. She said she'd been mentoring women entrepreneurs and service-based professionals, coaches, consultants, and healers over the last few years. And she said they all had the mindset chatter and the inner critic that makes them fear being visible. And as I read those words, I'd been reading the book. I was more than halfway finished the book. And when I read those words, they stopped me in my tracks. And I reread them. I knew she was speaking of me. She was talking about me. And I recognized that I wasn't alone. A lot of women deal with this. And Jenny will tell us whether or not men also struggle with being visible. Are they afraid also to be visible? And so as I went on my journey, I couldn't shake this because I have seen the impact that it's having on my business, that it has had on my bank account, and everywhere I turn, wherever this topic comes up about being more visible or fear of visibility, I'm interested. And so more recently, as I prepare to introduce my guest, listen to my share of summits, and my guest, Jenny Kovacs is her name, she was on this summit. I don't remember the name. She may share later. I don't remember the name of the summit. And she was one of the guests, one of the speakers. And I was like, wow, I was so interested in what she had to say. And so I started watching her videos. I researched her further. And this was last year. And more recently, I'm a part of a group, Women Who Speak, and I put something on that page, in that group, and Jenny, she added a comment. She said something. And I was like, wait, I know that name. And I was like, but what was very interesting was just that morning, I happened to look at the notes that I had taken from her videos, and she's going to talk about that system, okay? So without further ado, let me introduce you to my guest. But that's the backstory. That's some of the backstory, okay? Jenny Kovacs, she's known by many as the Queen of Being Seen. She is a visibility specialist and the proud creator of the Speaking Out Authentically system, Speaker Spotlight, and the Visibility Vibes process, and she's going to share about those. Jenny has a knack and passion for visibility, and she has been featured on the same teleseminar as one of the world's leading marketing experts, Carolyn Rush, and I know about her, and I have some of her work. And she has been on teleseminars with The Secret, John DeMartini. And this is a biggie for me. She has been on the same stage with Lisa Sasevich in front of thousands, in front of hundreds in Las Vegas. And if you don't know Lisa Sasevich, you might want to know her. And I've been following her as well, and she is one of Jenny's mentors, and quite a few coaches that I know, mentors. Okay, so welcome to She Struts Radio, Jenny Kovacs.
Hello. Hi, Deborah. Thank you for having me on your show.
I am so glad that you said yes, and I'd be quite frank with you. I don't understand how more people, I mean hundreds of people, because a lot of people struggle with this issue. I know that. And I want you to just share with us how you got started. I mean, how did you become a visibility specialist?
The answer to that question, Deborah, is by accident. You know, sometimes you reach a stage in life where you look back and you start to connect the dots. Everything makes sense afterwards. It was one of those moments. So my background was that I was a training manager in financial services. And for those of your listeners that are thinking, where is that accent from? I'm dialing in from England. And I'm born and bred in England, you know, lived here all my life. And I worked in financial services and I worked in the mortgage industry. Now, this is known to be a male-dominated environment. You know, this is known to be just, you know, yes, you get women working in the sector. Not so many black women, it has to be said. And I worked as a training manager, and I worked as for a commercial mortgage company. So I remember I did what most women I know do, and some men. It's like I woke up one morning and said to myself, I want to be, you know, going forward in my career. I want career progression. I want to do really well. I want to start making more money. You know, I want more responsibility. And I kind of went to work to do that. Now, from the time that I made that decision, which is an important part of the process, if you like, to fast forward to 3 years later, I had over tripled my salary. I was working at a high senior level, just kind of beneath board level under the C-suite, and I had responsibilities, I had a team, and at the time I just thought it was driven by ambition. It was in 2010 that I decided to start my own business, and boy oh boy, you know, for those people out there that do have their own business, it's one of the biggest kind of personal development things that you can undertake, because you wear so many hats and it teaches you everything about everything. But I remember when I started, you know, I'm a trained trainer and a coach, so I just thought I'll train anybody about anything and I'll coach anybody about anything. And what I didn't realize was from the journey from before I had my business to even starting my business, I was actually great at helping the people that I worked with to be seen. And this had a knock-on effect, because whether they were introverted or not, whether they had nerves around it or not, I helped them to stand out in a way that felt good for them. You know, these were outstanding people, often who actually worked in a company, not even with their own businesses. They became visible, which meant that they were able to get promoted, which meant that they were able to get better salaries, which meant that they were happier, you know, with their life. And it meant so many different things to different people. Yet I didn't see this. I went out and I just did my job, quote unquote. And when I started my business and started to hone into what I thought I was good at and was good at, was all around presentations. How were people presenting themselves? How were they promoting themselves in their business? What were they doing? How were they speaking about it? And it took until 2012 before I realized, actually, what I did wasn't about people presenting themselves or public speaking. It wasn't just about that. It was actually about them being visible, being seen, and really being heard. And the way that I started to uncover this was that I had a client that came to me, and she really wanted to get rid of her nerves around speaking in front of groups, speaking in front of senior people, because she wanted to start a business. So we worked together privately, and some months later, you know, she went off while we were working together and did her first talks and really liked it, and it had such far-reaching effects, you know. Her husband saw a different side of her he didn't know existed, you know, this confident side of her. She felt confident. And about 3 months after we worked together, she sent me an email and said, I just thought I'd let you know that I'm still doing lots of talks. I've sold a couple of packages to clients. And she said, mm-hmm. And I've just sold my first £5,000 package. And I remember reading this email and thinking, but I only helped her to be able to present and public speak. That wasn't mm-hmm. supposed to happen. So then I had this conversation with her, called her up and asked her a bit more about it. And she said, mm-hmm. but what you taught me was that you gave me the confidence to be able to just go out there and do anything, be anything. And I just want anyone who's listening now, whether you have your own business or not, you will serve people every single day of your life. Sometimes you touch people in a way that you don't even realize that you do. But think about those things that you do for people. It's not just what you do on the surface. It's what happens underneath. So little did I know that I was really helping people with their visibility. And I was doing this with lots of clients in lots of different areas. But it took me until 2012 to realize that what I did was help people to make a difference, help them to stand out to those people who are looking for them. And that's a really important thing about visibility. So it was a long path there. I'd love to say I woke up one morning, listened to a webinar, rolled my sleeves up and got straight into it. But, you know, the visibility piece is a combination of sales experience, customer service experience, training, and something that I was calculating this the other day. I'm approaching my 44th year on the planet, and I was working out how many years, you know, exactly how many years I've been doing some of the stuff that I've been doing. And I worked out that I've been in sales for 26 years, training for 25 years, visibility for 14 years, and communications for 29 years, although the first 6 years I learnt by being like a bit kind of not very good at my communication, I think. So, you know, customer services for 29 years. So a combination of all these things means that I've reached some sort of mastery level of being able to help people in those areas, which in turn helps them to stand out. That was the story. That was how I got there.
So is it something that comes natural to you?
I would say there are certain elements of it that I've learned over the years. So, you know, just as I thought to myself, well, you know, when you name yourself the Queen of Being Seen and people start calling you the Queen of Being Seen, it's almost like you put pressure on yourself to stand out. And one really interesting thing that happened sort of on this journey, on this path, I would say that there were elements of things that I seem to do well. And again, I'd get your listeners just to think about the things that they do really well in life. Like, this could be like a really silly example to use. If you're good at boiling rice, for example, or, you know, cooking something, if I ask you why are you good at that or how are you good at that thing, you often don't know. So it's like this layer of when you're good at something, it takes a lot of self-inquiry to uncover why you're good at it. And for those of us with a business who want to teach people the thing that we're good at, then there's a whole piece around picking that out and being able to, you know, to share that with other people. I don't think you're necessarily born with it, but here's what happened. 2010, I started my business and kind of, you know, found my way through into visibility. 2012, I realized that what I did was around visibility. So I decided to go on a business retreat, a small business retreat with a small group of women, about eight of us, to Ecuador. So travel to Ecuador, expecting to learn lots about the culture, the indigenous people there, the customs, you know, the beautiful nature. Ecuador is absolutely beautiful, you know, the volcanoes and all that kind of thing. And a lot of the women of color will really resonate with this story. So what happened was I went along with my very long, straight hair, you know, down near my shoulders. And on the first day, the group of women, we went to Otavala Market and we looked around at, you know, the sights, the smells, the tastes and everything of Ecuador. And we all got to know each other, you know. We started asking each other about our businesses and what we liked doing. And we really started to bond. That evening, we had a meal. And at that meal, the lady that was running the retreat said to us, tomorrow you're going to go to one of the most powerful waterfalls in Ecuador. You know, here the indigenous people believe that you get rid of anything that no longer serves you. And at that moment, everybody was excited. Now, my face on the outside looked really excited, but inside I was shaking because... Little did my group of people that I travel with know that this long, beautiful hair that they'd been, you know, congratulating me on was a wig. So I remember going back to my room that night and feeling really, really sick. And just to you know, although this is a kind of a funny story now, this will resonate with so many people who have got any element of fear or concerns about being visible and really being seen. So I've gone back to my room, I've reflected on the day, and I remember thinking, you know, so many of these women commented on how gorgeous my hair was, and I just said thank you. But now I was faced with the thought of going to this waterfall the very next day, and underneath my wig was my hair in its pure, natural Afro-Caribbean state, you know. And to boot, it was in, like, two little ponytails, you know, untreated. And I thought to myself, I know what I'll do. I'll go to the waterfall, and I'll just walk around with my hand on top of my head, you know, kind of looking, just, you know, just in case the power of the waterfall kind of blows my wig off. And the time I'm thinking this, I'm thinking this is a perfectly rational thought. You know, I'm not thinking this is crazy making. So I thought, well, I can't do that. And then I thought, well, I could just stand there and go, oh, my gosh, look at this. You know, the power of the waterfall has blown my hair off. Wow, you know. And I thought, no, I can't do that. I'm not a very good swimmer, and I don't fancy going to swim after a wig. And then I thought, well, what else can I do? You know, I could maybe try and tie something around my head. And the only option that didn't immediately spring to my mind was just to take it off, because all I could think about was I'd spoken to these women, we'd all bonded, and at no point had I told them that I was wearing a wig. So here's what went through my head. They're going to think I'm a liar. And if they think I'm a liar because I didn't tell them the truth about my hair, they're not going to want to do business with me. They're going to tell everybody about me that, you know, I'm not worthy to do business with, that I'm a liar, that I didn't tell the truth about my hair, you know, that I deceived them in some way. I really felt sick, and I just thought, you know what, all I can do is take the wig off and just go and enjoy the day. So the next morning I get up for breakfast, I go and meet the other ladies, and, you know, bearing in mind I've now walked in with like 14 inches of length off my hair, you know, with this like parted in two, I looked like a 12-year-old. And I sat down and had breakfast, and nobody said a word, which in my mind confirmed that I wasn't validated anymore, they didn't trust me, they didn't like me, you know, all of this kind of stuff going through my head. I hardly ate any breakfast. I felt so awful. And so I sat at the table, and just as we got to the end of the meal, one of the ladies that also went on the retreat, who's now a published Hay House author, she got up and she said, by the way, Jenny, your hair looks so much better like that. We can really see your face now. And she said, for somebody that has a program called Speaking Out Authentically and talks about being authentic and real, you look real. And off she went. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh. So all that chatter, all that mental chatter in my head was just that, just what the story that I made up, the story that I told myself and made it true, and it wasn't true. But there was still a little voice saying, yeah, she's just saying that, you know, just to be polite. And as the other women got up and left the table, they all said the similar thing, you know, your hair looks so much nicer like that. You can really see you now. And I just thought, yeah, you're just saying that because she said that, you know. And off they went. Anyway, so I went along to the waterfall, and I should put a picture up on one of my Facebook pages just to show everybody, because there's a picture of me standing by this powerful waterfall, you know, feeling really empowered, hands in the air. And really, I think the picture, people are looking, thinking, she's empowered, she had this powerful experience, which I did. But also it's, yes, I didn't have to go and retrieve my wig from the river. Woohoo! You know, it was that kind of relief and release. So the thing that I would love anyone that's listening to this to really take on board, and this is a really kind of a deep soul-searching question. What about you? Are you afraid of people knowing? You know, what about you do you think if people found out about you, you would lose maybe your credibility? We all carry not even just one story, but multiple stories. Maybe we went and did a course, or we went to college and didn't finish, or, you know, maybe we had our children younger than we would have liked, or it could be anything like that. But what is it about your life that you hide? Because quite often the very thing that you hide away from people is the very thing that actually connects you to the people that are looking for you. So really take a moment, you know, to write that down.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. I love that story. There's so many implications.
Mm.
And what would you say, you know, because that was one of my questions, what are people hiding? And I you know, I'm not going to make a show about me. I've been looking at that myself.
Mm.
And what I can say is that some of that stuff that I've been hiding is my power, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all the stuff that would be unattractive,
mm.
because I grew up in a household that where it wasn't cool to be powerful, to think
yeah,
well of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. There are lots of things that we hide. You know, I've had, you know, I've given talks and I've had, like, clients and acquaintances and peers tell me all sorts of things. You know, I've had people tell me that, you know, maybe their marriage broke down and they felt shame around that. So they didn't feel that they could be known as a successful person in their field because everything wasn't perfect. I've had people that have had, you know, some horrible experiences in the past, horrible personal experiences. Maybe they've been through abuse, you know, maybe they have got a health issue. I've definitely had connections with a lot of women who have had health issues and think that they, you know, they can't really run their business because they need to take time off for themselves. I've had people that have had shame around being made redundant from a job or even maybe being let go from a job. I've, you know, people that haven't finished particular courses, maybe they didn't enjoy the way that their career was taken, so they chose a different path, but they feel like by making the choice of the different path, leaving something behind, almost like that's something to be ashamed of, and none of it is, because when you have a look at, you know, that kind of, those kind of things, those kind of elements, they're exactly the things that make us real people, and they're exactly the things that connect us to people. The problem that many people I speak to have is they don't know how to tell that story. They don't know how to share that without feeling like they're exposing themselves somehow or giving away too much personal or private information. And that's it. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's interesting because there's a book that I absolutely love by a lady called Edwin Gaines. It's one of these books. You know, people talk about life-changing books. If any of you listening are, you know, in any way spiritual, you'll love this book. It's called The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And there's a page in there. It's 129. And it talks about changing our story. And it talks about the fact that we're people of power. We have a genuine power. And for a lot of us, the first parts of our lives show us how power can be misused. So what we've learned is how we can be, how power can be misused, or how ill treatment can happen for it. Whether we've been lied about, we've stolen from, you know, attacked, anything else like that. What that is a lesson in how power can be misused. So now that we've received that lesson, we get to write a new story. And Edwin Gaines talks very much about how we get to write a new story and we get to stand up and say, I am a woman or a man or a person of power. And there's no shame in that at all. And that's what you do with that story. That's how you become even more powerful and step into your personal power with your story.
There's so much that we can talk about. I do want you to share your vibe system, those 4 or 5 steps. But I want to I want to talk just a little bit about that story piece, because when I think about my own life, there are things that I have sometimes even shared in a blog that I know that people think, oh, my God, I could never share that. And I know I've had a friend tell me she's read she read my first book, and she was like, oh, my goodness, I could never, I can't, you know, you're so brave. You shared all this personal stuff. I could never do that. But what's so interesting to me that this particular person who said that, she shares very personal stuff with people anywhere, like face-to-face.
Mm.
And I'm a little bolder, it seems, that I do it in a blog or an article on LinkedIn or whatever. But I've been working with this for a while. And so is there a time issue? This has been a question of mine. So if I'm in the middle of it, is that not a good time to share it? Because let's say you lose, you know, you talked about a marriage. Let's say you lose your home and you say, okay, well, do you wait until you've recovered and then you share it? Because it's like
timing. It depends on the person, I think. It depends on the person. It depends on the circumstances. I would never be one to say you have to share something now or you don't. But, you know, if you're going through a marriage breakdown or, you've lost your home or you're losing your home, sometimes your energy and your focus needs to be on getting that particular piece sorted out. So the reason why I think people sound like they might be giving too much information or speak inappropriately is if somebody is going through something and they haven't had the opportunity to process it themselves and they start to speak about it in an open public forum, because they're still processing it, it's funny, Marianne Williamson talks a lot about her work in A Course in Miracles, for example. And she talks about when we say things, having barbs sticking out, you know. If when we go to speak about the best friend that we had for 30 years and then we fell out with them and we haven't processed it ourselves, then when we speak about it, some of that bitterness is going to leak out. And that's when it makes it a really difficult story to digest. So if you are going through something out there, and here's where, you know, we'll talk later about the vibes and the visibility vibe system, because it's really important. The vibe is the place that you come from in your heart. So I know it's become very popular, for example, on social media, for people to share what they're going through, sometimes in real time. Now, if I'm sharing a very, very vulnerable story and finish off at the end with, so if you want to come and learn how to share vulnerable stories, come and work with me, surely the vibe that you're coming from isn't one of, I just need to talk, I just need to share, or I need to process this. You're coming from a different place. So this is why the vibe is really, really important. Your vibe is important. If you are going through something traumatic, like, you know, losing your home, being made redundant, bankruptcy, anything like that, then allow yourself the time and space and energy you need to process it. And if that means not speaking about it publicly, that's fine. If it means, you know, speaking about it publicly and sharing it as you go through and it feels good to you and everyone else involved, then that's fine too. It really depends on where you are, you know, and what the circumstances are. There's no right or wrong in this, and there's certainly nothing wrong in waiting until you've gone through a process and then starting to share. Because the other thing, of course, is that sometimes we share things with people closest to us, family, friends, you know, who are well-meaning, and it's almost like the energy of them worrying about it can sometimes really kind of swing a pendulum. So, you know, I have a marriage that we ended like 3 years ago, and at the time when that I was going through that, it wasn't an appropriate forum for me to talk about it publicly because, you know, whilst we had this amicable split, it wasn't something that we could talk about publicly because I might have been in a certain place at the time of speaking about it, but I still had to think about my, you know, my ex-husband's feelings and how he was feeling and what he was going through. So it's just being sensitive to the whole energy of what's going on and where people are at in the process when you're going through it.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So people say your vibe attracts your tribe.
Mm.
What does that mean?
Interesting. So for anyone out there who is listening who has a business or is thinking of starting a business, quite often the vibe, your vibe, your vibration and how you are and what you love is the very thing that attracts those people, those clients, those businesses. And sometimes, you know, if you don't have a business and, you know, you're working or you're a full-time mother or anything else like that, your vibe of how you are is what attracts people to you and around you. So if somewhere along the line we allow ourselves to become bitter and twisted, then all of a sudden we find ourselves absolutely surrounded by people that are, you know, our vibe. We're like a magnet. So quite often, you know, I mentioned before that I spent years working in financial services. So somewhere along the line, I learned that to be professional sometimes meant that I had to be maybe a little bit stiff or starchy. And, you know, that's not true. That's never been true. So if you are a person with a business and, you know, maybe you have a faith, allow yourself in that business arena to speak about your faith. Other people that have got similar likes, interests to you or aspire to be more like you will come to you. And the reason why that's so important is if your vibe is attracting your tribe of people around you, then you're going to be happier, your clients are going to be happier, and you're going to be more content with what you're doing. If not, you'll get what can sometimes be known as your heart sink clients. You know, you see that you've got a call with them or a VIP date with them, or, you know, you're going to do a workshop and your heart sinks because you're not really loving or looking forward to it. So it's really, really important. And for a lot of people, this is like, I think I read somewhere that you talked about shedding of onions, you know, the onion skin layer by layer. And sometimes it is that. It's, I mean, a self-inquiry as to who you are, which is an easy question to ask but a difficult question to answer. Knowing who you are and knowing, it's almost like the characteristics of the people around you. That's what your vibe attracting your tribe is really all about. And that expression is one that's been used a lot, especially on social media. I just have to say it's not one that I coined. So, but it is something that, you know, a lot of people, they really seek to work with clients that they love. And sometimes it's just a case of really taking a step back and thinking, well, what is your vibe? Who do you want to work with? You know, what kind of people do you want around you? And making that happen, not by force, just by being. And once you're in that vibe, that good vibe, that's when it's like you're shining your light and people start to see it and come towards you because they like what they see and how they see it.
I would say that is so true because I know when I recently watched a video that you did, and you were just so natural and you were so giving. I've watched several of them, but this particular one that I can't remember the name of it, but you were teaching and sharing so openly, and you were talking about, I mean, you said you could have put makeup on, but you chose not to. You could have done this, you could have done that, but you chose to just be very natural and be yourself. And do you see that's where a lot of our challenges are? I mean, I know I get in front of a camera, and I can talk to people face-to-face. I can do a speaking engagement, and that's not a big deal.
Mm.
It seems that I get in front of a camera, and then suddenly I want to be somebody else. And and it just doesn't feel natural. And so, is this a confidence courage issue, not just with me, but with people in general? What's going on with us that we feel this need to put up, actually to wear a mask? What is that about?
Okay.
And then vibe does stand for something, right?
I'll tell you a quick kind of what it stands for, and we'll go into it a bit deeper, throughout this show. So, the system is the Vibes system, so V for Victor, I for India, B for Bravo, E for Echo, S for Sierra. There you go, phonetic alphabet. And the V stands for visibility. It's how you want to be seen, how you want to show up in the world. I is either the impact you make or the impression that you leave, kind of two sides of the same stick. The B is all around how you biographically speak about yourself and your business and what you do. Really important. Otherwise, people become confused if you can't kind of nail that. The E is all around the energy. So the energy of not being overwhelmed and burnt out, when you are running a business, whether you have a team or not, how do you manage it all? And the S is around speaking. And even underneath all of those, letters, there are further kind of, pieces underneath. So the speaking could be that you want to speak from a stage and publicly speak, or it could be that you want to be able to speak to people when you're networking, or it could even be, and I'm finding a lot of clients are presenting with this now, where people are scared to pick up the phone and make telephone calls to potential clients, or they have a fear around sales. They have a fear around, speaking when it comes to asking people for money, to pay for their products and services. This is really, really common. So V is for visibility. I is for impact or the impression. B is your biography and how you biographically speak about what you do. E is the energy of it, so managing it. And S is speaking, whether that's, on screen or off screen, face-to-face, online or whatever. So those are the elements of Vibes. Now, in terms of the question that you just asked me around video, this is something that's really common. Now, I don't consider myself a video specialist per se, but one of the things I noticed is, I'm of an age where you only used to recognize people in the street if they were on TV. So I remember going to a Gabrielle Bernstein event when she came to London, and this lady came up to me and she went, "Oh my gosh, are you Jenny Kovacs?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." She went, "Oh my gosh, I've been watching your videos, they're really, really great. And you did a challenge, and on this video you asked me to, to do this thing, and I went and did it, and it really worked." And I was pleased. I was really pleased that this lady was able to get these results. But at the same time, I remember thinking, that's really strange because, once upon a time, you'd only have somebody coming up to you if they'd, if they'd seen you on TV. And video is a really great tool for that. But to address specifically what you were talking about in terms of, you go on the camera and you feel like a different person, there's normally one fundamental thing that makes that or allows that to happen. Quite often, in order for us to be of service and share a message or anything else like that, we put a lot of attention on what words we want to use, how we look when we talk on the video. Will we look great? Will we be professional? Will we be clear enough? So what accidentally happens is, in order for us to do our best, we accidentally almost like shining the light on ourselves. Now, it's hard to do two things at once. How can we stand and speak in front of a video and share when we're trying to give something to the person listening to the video, but how can we share when at the same time we're thinking about, well, does my hair look okay? Have I got makeup on? Is my forehead shiny? Is my top too low cut? What am I going to say? Am I going to sound clear? Will people understand me? You know, and we have all this stuff running simultaneously in our head. It's no wonder that it doesn't feel natural to us. And then for some people, it could be things that have gone on in the past, because the only way we can learn to be afraid of something is by making a reference to something that's happened that we've maybe had not such a great experience with. So for a lot of my clients, I remember I had a client who was a teacher, and she became really afraid to speak openly. And it stemmed back to when she was a child, just being told, you know, you're a child, you'll be seen and not heard. It didn't affect her for many years of her life. And then, you know, it was like all of a sudden she was at school and she had this pressure to, you know, perform in meetings and things like that. And all of a sudden, this old fear, which had been bobbing under the surface, came out. You know, sometimes it's people, when we're smaller, telling us just to shut up, you know, and stop speaking. Another one is at school, you know, the teacher might have asked you to stand up and read in front of the class or stand at the front of the class, and people didn't feel comfortable with it. And, you know, any sort of fear in that way is learned. And what happens is we get into a scenario like video where it's time to do a video. So any, even if it's a small bit of fear, we run it through our body and our brain doesn't know that it's not really happening and that we're not in danger. So our body and our, you know, our brain and our body is kind of creating this whole anxiety piece. And what we do is we accidentally teach ourselves to get more and more scared of things. And often what happens, the piece that I would pinpoint on video is that people will often start to think about themselves because they want to get it right. It comes from a good place. But when you're thinking about yourself, you can't focus. And it's really funny because I've got a private Facebook group for clients that kind of go in there, and they're a really supportive community. And every now and then I will sort of set, I don't like to call it a video challenge because it makes it sound bad. So we called it a video game last time. So, you know, I'll just encourage people just to post up videos just in that group. And what I love about the Visibility Vibers, as I call them, they're such a juicy, lovely, supportive community. And they're like, there's no one saying, oh, you said this or did that. They're like, you can do it. Go on. We loved your video. You know, and they're just so supportive. But the way to get there is really to look at, you know, what you are or how you are serving, not about you. And that comes from a place of just wanting to be the best, you know?
Yeah, I get that. That's great. Mm. In other words, take the focus off yourself and think about the people that you are talking to. You don't have to know who they
Absolutely.
Are, but you're offering something. And when you're thinking about making an impact, making a difference, then forget about yourself. I love that. That's the best answer I've heard about that. I mean, because really, I know that I've done it in other settings. I do it in other settings, and it's no different in front of a camera. I just made it different. Like you said, focusing on, am I professional? Is my hair, all my strands of hair, the right way? And I want to take a short break, an interlude, and then when we return, if you have any advice or tips or strategies to offer, I'd love for you to do that, Jenny, and give out your information when we return as well. And
okay.
I want to open up the lines for any calls, or I should say any questions. If you have any questions, when we return, I want you to ask Jenny questions. I mean, really.
I love taking your questions.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to your questions because I have so many questions in my head, but I know that I can't get to them all. So you can ask the question that I haven't asked already. Okay, so when we return, you have been listening to She Struts With Yo, and I really appreciate your presence.
Excellent. I look forward to
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.
Yes, Alicia Keys, this girl is on fire. Let me tell you something. We have enough women out there, Alicia Keys, and let's not even talk about Beyonce with Formation. And we have women that we can touch and talk to, like Jenny Kovac, that are good examples, and myself, because I'm emerging, and I know I've been in hiding, even though I'm a lawyer, written 3 books, speaker, blogger. I know I was one of those children that was told to be seen and not heard. And you hear that enough, you don't know how to go out into the world and start to talk about yourself. So there's so we've been conditioned, many of us, and we don't even know it, conditioned to, you know, just stand there and look pretty, you know, a lot of stuff for women. And so I'm going to ask Jenny in a moment, because I'm curious, do men deal with this? I'm sure that they do, but I'm wondering if it's to the same extent that women do, and I see it. So you're listening to She Struts Radio, and my guest is Jenny Kovac. She's a visibility specialist. And she's piping in all the way from the UK, and it's quite late there. So I really appreciate her. She's up after midnight to talk to you. And so that I hope, you know, that's a big deal to me. So I hope that you really appreciate her presence, because I do. Jenny, can we talk? There's so much I want to ask you, but if you have a question or a comment, press 1, and you can ask Jenny a question or make a comment. But I want to know if how does this affect our business? Or well, you talked a bit about the business. I don't know if you talked about the impact of hiding on our business and our bank accounts, because I was talking to a lovely friend of mine earlier today, and I was telling her, I was just sharing with her, that as I emerge, I see my business growing. And I told her, and she was like, well, sometimes I really just don't want to, I don't want to post on Facebook. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I just don't feel like it. And she has a book coming out.
And I said, I don't care how you feel. I said, if you want freedom, financial freedom, then there are certain things you need to do. You cannot, that's why I named this show, you cannot have, you can, can't have no quiet hustle. And somebody said that to me when I was in Atlanta at a Steve Harvey affair and Lisa Nichols affair. Mm-hmm. And I was, and one of the, a woman who works for Steve Harvey, I was talking with her, and she said, and I was sharing something with her, and she just, and I was kind of apologizing for sharing, and she said, no. She said, you can't have no quiet hustle. And I never forgot that, because it was like, oh, right. If I'm going to make some money, if I'm going to get recognized, promoted, whatever your station, whatever it is that you are wanting, hiding and not talking about it, not letting people know you have a book coming out, not letting people know that what you do, then how can they even hire you? How can they say, I want to work with you? They don't even know what you do. You're sitting there like you have nothing going on. And this happens sometimes, Jenny, in all kinds of settings where it would just be perfect for people to share, but they don't. Is this something that, do men deal with this too?
Well, yes, they do, but I find that they deal with it differently because in my business I work with men and women and businesses, you know, both kind of individual businesses and bigger businesses. So I've worked for some big brands in the UK here as well. And I just think the way that they present is very different. So I distinctly remember a male client that I had last year who had to fly to another country and give a very big presentation to a big company. And the way the visibility hit him was that he had this fear, this growing fear of public speaking. And one thing to note that I think is very interesting, if children don't like something, they'll cry and kick their feet and say, I don't like it, I don't want to do it. Adults will really disguise it to the last minute. So one of the things I find with the men, when they are either recommended to me or find me, they normally say, I've got this problem and it needs to stop. You know, this guy who had flown out to do a presentation for his company got there and he just couldn't take it. He went out the night before and decided to have a few drinks to try and calm his nerves and then said, I can't do it, and told his company that he was ill and flew back home.
Mm.
It took for him to get to that pain point before he thought, you know what, I have to do something about this. So it was almost like, I remember having the call with him, because when I work privately with people, I have a conversation with them. I want to make sure that we're right to work for, you know, together with each other. And if there's someone else that can help them, I'll tell them that, which often surprises people. But I remember having this conversation with this guy, and he was just, he was almost to the point of impatience of, I just want to work with you because I need to get rid of this fear. You know, and fast forward, just a few short weeks later, he was doing videos for his company, you know, and his company has some really high-profile clients, and, you know, and he was doing presentations and things like that. So I think the way in which they present are very different. The men will normally approach me by saying, this is a problem I've got, or at least they think they have. This is a problem I've got, and I need to solve it. You know, I remember another guy once sent me a message through LinkedIn, actually, and said, I need your help. I needed to reprogram my brain, is exactly what he said. You know, and so very direct. Whereas, you know, as women, we tend to be nurturers, carers, and we tend to be a bit more like, well, we know that we need some help in this area, but we're just going to, like, look after the kids first, the family, the friends, or we'll cobble it together. There's someone doing a free webinar, so I'll learn it in an hour for my webinar. And the problem with that, of course, is when you're invisible, you're under the parapet. You're often telling yourself that you're unknown, that you're a nobody, or nobody knows who you are. So you do something to raise your visibility, and often we just do one thing. And then the problem is, now we're visible, how on earth do we know what to say to our current audience now we're on the radar and continue to find new people? So then we learn how to maybe position ourselves, and sometimes it is like a webinar or a video, and we'll take a piece of that, and then once we think, well, we've solved that problem, then the next problem is, well, how do I take people from kind of watching what I do to, you know, or being a fan of my work to actually paying clients? So there's so many kind of layers to it, and I think the difference that I've observed between kind of my men and my women are that women will normally sit in that pain point for a lot longer, and then something happens. And one of the things that I always find out when I speak to people is, you know, what happened? You know, there's sometimes it's just like the straw that breaks the camel's back, but there's normally a little piece that happens. So, you know, for the lady that you were speaking about, who's the author, people say, oh, I don't like Facebook, it's for teenagers or whatever. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, as you'll know as an author, that you know, a lot of the big publishing houses, they want you to have a following, and nowadays that includes on social media. So if you don't like posting on Facebook, for example, do it in a way that you absolutely do love. You know, look at people like Elizabeth Gilbert, for example. You know, look at how a lot of the sort of big authors now from the big publishers, they start to build their tribe even before the book gets launched. So start to look at how you best communicate. You know, do you prefer to speak to people? You know, would video be a good way to connect with people? And start to look at that. But that's what I would say the main difference is between kind of like the men and the women. The men have the same issues and problems, but once they identify there's a problem, because of their masculine energy, they're very much like, do, let's get this sorted out, let's make it happen. Whereas the energy of a woman, and I'm not even speaking now about masculine and feminine in terms of a man and a woman, but feminine energy is more nurturing, you know. Women grow babies in their bodies without having to control what happens next. Whereas I'm sure if a man was pregnant, they'd be like, check, day one, heartbeat, day two, fingernails. You know, they would have it all down and they would make it happen. So it's just similar issues, but just approached from a different way, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's unfortunate in some ways that we can take so much pain, and maybe childbirth has something to do with it, because we can take the pain, you know? We will stay with
it,
you know,
but why should we? And this is the thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut over you. I was just laughing because there's so many things, you know, and I see this a lot for either women in businesses who work for people or women with their own businesses. There are so many hats that we wear, but it doesn't mean that we have to wear all of them. And that's the thing. So, you know, I've had clients that have come to work with me and they've said, oh, I've been watching your videos for a year. You know, I had somebody recently ask me about helping them with the speaking side of things, and they came to a workshop of mine like 14 months before, and they nailed something at that workshop, and they decided, right, okay, the next problem they have, I think Jenny can help me. I watch her videos 14 months before they actually even had the conversation. And it was just like, what you could have achieved in 14 months. We really don't, sometimes we don't give ourselves the respect. I know this is an area that you speak a lot about in terms of self-love and really nurturing ourselves. But, you know, we don't often respect what we need. And that saddens me. It's something that I really would love women not to do so much, you know, to empower themselves to go for what they want and get what they need when they need it.
Absolutely. Lisa Sasevich says, put your own crown on. Assume the throne. And I really resonate with that, because I think what's going on with women, we can take a lot of pain, but we very often don't feel worthy of the things we say we desire. So underneath that, I want that is fear and
the sense that I'm not really deserving of it. And so we have to actually work with that. Who was it talks about, I can't remember who it was, but she, there was a woman, in fact, she's from England, and I think you may have heard her name, Marissa Peer.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
She does a TED Talk, and she's awesome. And what she shared was how she said everybody pretty much, dealing with this issue, I'm not enough. And at the root of any issue is I'm not enough. And so she's a therapist, well-known in England somewhere. And so she's like, gives people the assignment to tell themselves every morning before they get up and write it on the wall and write it everywhere and just keep doing that. And I actually did that because somewhere along the line, you know, somewhere we know we picked it up in our families and in culture that there are certain things, even though we go after them or we say we want them, underneath it all, this feeling that you're not deserving. And so that's really what dictates us sitting in pain. Because if I feel deserving of relief, then I'm going to seek relief. I'm going to get some relief, right? And so if you have a question, please ask a question. This is an opportunity for, even if you are feeling fear, even if you're feeling doubtful, even if you wonder if what you have to say is, it's already been said, that's one. Let me tell you, Jenny, I'll tell you, years ago before I may have gone to law school at the time, I can't remember, but I remember I had this terrible fear of speaking in public. I mean, anywhere, at a meeting, in front of people, and so my sister and I, we would go places together, and what I would do is I would just, it didn't matter. I would raise my hand or I would make a point because I was practicing. I needed to do it. I needed to speak, and I would just practice wherever I went to speak. And this is what this is. When we go ahead and assert ourselves, like in this forum, you are growing your courage. You are becoming more confident. And if you're a man or a woman, if you are hiding, it's time to come out of hiding. So give them some tips, since nobody wants to raise their hand. Nobody wants to say, I got comment or question. So give us some ways to raise our visibility, Jenny. Give your information out. Give your information out, because I don't want the last minute in trying to get that out.
I'm all over the place. I'm on Facebook, so I have two pages on Facebook. So facebook.com/, there's one that's kind of around visibility. That's Visibility Vibe, without the S on the end. And that's the Queen of Being Seen page, which is a smaller page. I'll talk to the number thing in a minute. And then the other page is facebook.com/ Jenny Make It Happen, which is the speaker, coach, trainer page. So if you're on, I mean, I've literally got my Mac open now. So if you're on Facebook and want to go to the Queen of Being Seen page, you know, do post a question on there as well, and I'll say, oh, look, someone's posted a question. The other thing that I've done is I've just had a page put up on my website today. So if you go to my website, it's GIFT, which is G for Golf, I for India, F for Foxtrot, T for Tango, - Wish, W, I, S for Sierra, H for Hotel, .co.uk. So that's a UK page. And if you go to my website, you'll see on there that I have made a special tab for Deborah's crew and her crowd and her tribe, and it's called the She Strut Visibly. And on there, as well as on my website, you'll be able to get hold of a free gift I have for you, which is the Visibility Raising Audio, and it's the start of your plan. It's a workbook guide. So I'll just go through and ask you some questions and get you to scribble it down, and it's the first part of your plan, your visibility raising plan. So do go over and grab that. And as Deborah mentioned, I'm also on YouTube, I'm on Twitter. So, you know, come and connect with me there, because I always wonder after I've done these talks and teleseminars and things like that and interviews, I'm curious about how you're getting on, you know, what you're finding, how the tips are working and things like that. So that's the first piece. So I mentioned that there's five key elements to the visibility vibe system. Now, it all boils down to three main areas. Do you prefer to speak? You know, are you a confident public speaker? Do you prefer to be behind the screen? Maybe you've got kids, you know, you move around a bit and you want to do it online. So maybe webinars and videos are your thing. Or are you a writer? Now, it doesn't mean that you have to pick one of these things, but there'll be one. If I said to you, you could only do one of them, there'll be one that you feel a stronger pull towards. So maybe you've written a book, maybe you want to write a book, maybe you have a blog, or you write white papers, or, you know, posts and things like that. And the reason I think that, like, there's those three main routes of getting out there, you know, getting visible and getting your work out there, I always believe that you should start with your key strengths. There's a fantastic book by a man called Tom Rath, R-A-T-H, called Strength Finders. If you haven't come across that book, it's worth doing. There's an online test, and it shows you your top five strengths. So one of my beliefs is that if you play to your strengths, everything else follows suit. So do you prefer to speak live, face-to-face, or, you know, you're a networker? Do you prefer to stay behind your computer and kind of do the online stuff, or do you prefer just to write? So whichever one of those three you feel more of a pull towards, that's the place to start. Otherwise, we get into this overwhelm of trying to get videos out, post on Twitter, post on Facebook, go out and socialize and network, and it all becomes too much. So that's what I'd ask you, just to kind of, you know, think about that. And if you're a heady person and you really don't need to think anymore, little exercise is just to put your hand on your heart and take a really deep breath in, and imagine as you breathe out, you're just releasing anything that you don't need, fear, you know, worry, struggle, anything else like that. And with your hand on your heart, then think to yourself, okay, which one of these is the one that I love doing, I could do all day long? Okay. Don't do the things that you think you should do, or that the well-meaning people around you think you should do, or that your family tell you you should do. Go for what feels good for you. The thing to know about the visibility vibe system is visibility are the things that you do, and the vibes are like the place that you come from. And you mentioned Lisa Sasevich earlier. Now, Lisa Sasevich was a mentor of mine, and thanks to Lisa, I went over to America quite a few times throughout 2014 and the first part of 2015. And what I love about what Lisa teaches, so Lisa is known as the Queen of Sales Conversion. What I love about what she teaches is that she does it from a completely heart-centered place. There are lots of people out there that will teach you how to sell from the stage, how to sell through speaking, and they will encourage you to run to the back of the room with countdown timers and all of that kind of stuff. One of the things that I realized through my work with Lisa, I was one of her sassies in her mastermind, one of the things I realized is the place that you come from is really, really important. So, you know, like you might walk into a room and maybe there are two people in the room. Maybe they've had an argument, but by the time you walk into that room, nobody's saying anything, but you can feel it in the air. You know that feeling? You can just feel something's not right here, you know? Well, when we post online or speak publicly or network, if we go in on the visibility front to do something, let's take networking. Say we go to a BNI or eWomen network or something like that, and we go in, and the vibe that we come from is, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to give loads of business cards out so I can get loads of business cards out so I can add people to my list and grow my list. You don't have to say that, but people really feel it. They really feel it. And I know that sometimes we do that because we think it's a really good way of getting out there or growing our list and all of that kind of stuff. But people feel it. And when they feel it, no matter what you say or do, if they're not feeling your vibe, then they're not likely to work with you. So one of the things that I do, I love networking. So when I network, I go my pure intention is to be able to make a really good connection with a handful of people. You know, sometimes I'll say, if I make a connection with three great people, that's enough. So it means that I'm the person that goes and I show up differently. I listen to people. You know, I really engage with their conversations. I'm really present for them. I'm not running around throwing my business cards in people's face. In fact, I often will not give business cards out at a networking event. And quite often, I will only give a card if somebody asks for my card. You know, if somebody sends me a message and says, I want to work with you, I'll say, great, let's talk. I won't say, here you are, do this, do this, do this, because that's not the vibe I want. I don't want that forceful vibe. That's really, really important because we've all been on the receiving end of being out at a networking event and having somebody talk at us, and it's like they verbally pin us against the wall, you know. That doesn't feel very good. So it's really important in terms of visibility and vibes to keep that really great vibe. Really think about what's your intention. If you're posting something on Facebook and you're pretending it's one thing, but it's really something else, for example, then that's people will feel something's off in that, you know?
Yeah, well, that's good because I've done that before, and I'm checking myself because you're right. You can feel the energy even in a person's words, and I'm a writer, and so I know when I write my articles, when I write for LinkedIn, generally speaking, I would say I'm really coming from a good place. Now, if I'm writing sometimes, like you said, and I'm still processing something and it comes in my blog, sometimes I know that it's like, oh, well, okay, you've not done processing that. And so so I'm in this, for myself, I'm in this sort of this interesting place of, like, you know, been talking about emerging, coming out of hiding. And sometimes I have found that it's not a nice, lovely coming out. It's like sometimes I feel like I'm fighting my way out. I may be sharing things that maybe I shouldn't share at that time, but I feel like I have been hiding so long in plain sight at that, because I'm a verbal person, but the authentic true me is now showing up, and that's who I want to show up. And sometimes I think as we emerge, and I had the experience with a coach and someone, I was really excited about this person, and someone I invited to observe her or to connect with her as well, several people, they said some things about her that were, you know, was like, wow, she seemed hard and mean or angry or something. It was negative, right? And interestingly enough, at the time, I didn't experience that with her. But later on, I did, and it was really quickly after that that I experienced that this coldness coming from her. But what I attributed some of that to was that sometimes when we're first coming out, like, it may be different for different people. So for one person, they may come out dancing. Another person may come out fighting because they've been – it's like a caged animal. You know, when you've been in hiding, you know, if you put a dog in the basement and don't feed it, or it doesn't get the light of day, and then you suddenly let it out, it might bite you. it might bite your ass, you know. But, you know, then another dog might come out and just go into the corner. So sometimes our emerging doesn't look pretty.
I know mine's is not always looking pretty. I've written some blogs, and I don't regret it so much. It's just that I know that this is my process. And as I, the more, though, that I find my rhythm and I find my place and my voice, then I am not as, there's a different vibe, if you will.
Mm.
And so it's just not always I grew up in a family that, you know, that you weren't even supposed to think well of yourself. I had a lot of hate directed at me from my siblings, and my siblings, like, who do you think you are, my father. And so this stuff that we are dealing with, a lot of it comes from childhood. And I was bullied from third grade through the ninth grade. And I'm saying all that to say that you, as a listener, you may can relate to something I'm saying. Maybe some things that happened to you and in childhood or early adulthood or at some point, and you got the message that you weren't good enough or that you have no right to be powerful. You have no right to let your light shine. I heard that my whole life. And so even though I went to law school and did some other things, I'm just getting to a place now. It's like I want my authentic Deborah. And as she emerges, I do see a difference in how I'm attracting clients. I see it.
This is so important, and one of the pressures that people put themselves under as well is that, you know, they feel ashamed about the numbers. So if you have a Facebook page and you have low numbers or low numbers on Twitter following, don't worry about it. Just go with where you are. It's interesting because I did a survey recently out to my list and people that I'm connected to find out what they needed more of. And one of the things that I realized is I love speaking to big audiences. I like speaking to small audiences. But one of the things that I realized that this is the importance of visibility, because visibility is how to sell yourself or your products or your services or your reputation. So when you can do that really well, it doesn't matter how many people in the room. I've had Google Hangouts before where I've had four people on there. We were talking about something, and somebody came off afterwards and bought like a $3,000 package from me, and that was from four people. You know, I've spoken to small groups of entrepreneurial people, you know, 20 people in the room, and been able to, you know, make good connections, good contacts, you know, build lists, get recommended for other speaking gigs, make high-ticket sales. So it's like, don't think, oh, well, I've got small numbers, so I have to appear bigger or elevate myself. That's not true. But there are a couple of like quick tips that I'd love to give your listeners that they can do right away. So one of the things I see, I've got Facebook open in front of me, and I'm on my Queen of Being Seen page. So someone's just gone and liked one of the other pages. I just wanted to say thank you and hi. So one of the things that I see people do is they have a business and they use their private Facebook page for their business. Now, I don't want to get into right or wrong, apart from the fact that if Facebook find out, they can close your account, take you down, whatever. One of the things I see people do a lot is on their private Facebook page where they work, I've seen self-employed and loving it, those kinds of things. Now, if you have a work-related page, link that to your personal profile. Now, this is one of the biggest kind of take a deep breath and blow out gently and go for it, because your friends and family, if your friends and family don't even know what you do, like how can you even start to really spread the word in your networks? So on your private Facebook pages, if you have a business, even if you're just getting started, set yourself up with a public Facebook page and link it back to, you know, that business. And if you've got a couple, link it back to both of them so that when people see you on Facebook, they can click on there and go over to your page.
So, Jenny, we have a question, and the person, you only have a minute, it's that long because we're right at the end of the show. And excuse me. So I would love for you to let's see if we could take this person's question. 296-945-296. Welcome to She Stress Radio.
Yes.
Your name?
Good evening. Good evening, Deborah. This is Esther. How are you?
I'm great.
Hi, Esther.
I'm wonderful. I'm so thankful that I was able to jump on the call. I kind of caught it, you know, at the end. However, the conversation has been so enlightening. And I'm grateful, Deborah, for your beautiful guest and the, you know, the information that's being presented. Timing is, I tell you, divine order. All is in perfect divine order. And so everything that I've been listening to, wow, it's serving as divine guidance. I have been intending to see how I can present myself as a speaker and also a mindfulness coach, you know, and I wasn't quite sure exactly how to do that. I do have a presence on Facebook, and I do a lot of posting, you know, from different things that enlighten me. And so I put that out there. So I'm kind of giving, you know, the my setting up my presence as being an enlightenment coach and someone that would like to also do public speaking. So, again, this has been a gift, and I did. I liked your page, Jenny. And,
thank you.
So I look forward to following you, and I appreciate you staying up this late to serve us here in the U.S.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you for listening. And and you can connect with Jenny. And she has several packages and programs. Speaking Out Authentically is one of them. Speaker Spotlight and Visibility Vibe. So reach out to her now that you're connected.
Absolutely. And I did. I got the acronym for Vibe, so I was able to catch that. You know, the visibility, impression, biography, energy, and speaking. So I look forward to following you. And thank you so much, Deborah. Thank you for the invitation. And I'm thankful that I was able to jump on.
Thank you.
So
thank
all
you
my
so much,
love.
Esther.
Okay. Peace and blessings. Namaste.
Thank you, Esther. Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is great. So give your website out again, because it's kind of a little bit, I guess, difficult. So make sure you give that out now, Jenny, your website.
Okay. So the website is all the W's, and then it's gift-wish.co.uk. If you want to find me, put my name in, Jenny Kovacs, into Google, and you'll find me in lots of different places. That's K-O-V-A-C-S. I just want to say, like, 60-second quick thing around what Esther was saying around mindfulness coaching and speaking. Esther, you can absolutely do both, absolutely. Get really clear on what mindfulness coaching means for people so they can digest it from where they are. So go deeper than the mindfulness coaching piece. What will that give them? And start speaking from that place. I mean, you know, just as I say, look, check out my YouTube video. It's got loads of videos on there that talk about how to articulate what we do in a way that people get. So hopefully you'll find that even more helpful.
Wonderful, wonderful,
well,
thank you.
I want you to, as we close out, thank you so much, Jenny, for staying up. Jenny Kovacs, she's been with us. She's typed in all the way from the UK. It's quite late there. Next week coming up, we have Stephanie Small. She's going to help you win in love, the Black Girl's Guide to Winning in Love and Life. That's next Thursday. And then the Thursday after that, I have CJ Gross. He's coming on to talk about love on the line. We're going to be talking about love again. And so please follow us at She Struts Radio. I've been just delighted to have this conversation with Jenny. I am your host, Deborah M. Ricks. Please check me out at DeborahRicks.com. And if you want to work with me, let me know. There's plenty of ways to connect with me via my website and Deborah M. Ricks at Facebook, on Facebook, and Twitter at Deborah Ricks. So many social media sites. Oh, I'm trying to keep up with it all. And so, thank you, Jenny Kovacs.
Thank you for having me.
I hope to have you on again.
Yeah, I'd love to come back.
And thank you, listeners. And please, please, speak up. Stand up. Shine. This is your time. This is your time. Until the next time, be kind to yourselves.
It's been a while. I'm not who I was before. You look surprised. Your words don't burn me anymore. Been meaning to tell ya, but I guess it's clear to see. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of me. Can't be bad, I found a brand new kind of free. Careful with your ego, he's the one that we should blame. Had to grab my heart back. God knows something had to change. Thought that you'd be happy. I found the one thing I need. Why you mad? It's just a brand new kind of me. It took a long, long time to get here. Took a brave, brave girl. Ain't bad. I found a brand.